You're listening to The Sports Fix.
Portions of The Sports Fix brought to you by GV Art and Design. Find all the hottest Cleveland sports gear online at gvartwork.com or at their brand new store on Detroit Avenue in Lakewood.
Sports Fix listeners, don't wait all day or all week to get in on the fun. The party doesn't stop when we go off the air all week long. The Sports Fix social media sites are your one-stop shop for all things Cleveland sports. Jump over to Facebook.com/TheSportsFix, Facebook.com/TheSportsFix, and become a fan today because we love fans and they create some of the best sports talk in town, Daddy. You'll enjoy talking to your fellow Cleveland sports fans on the Sports Fix fan page. And if Twitter's your thing, well, you know how we do it. Tweet with us at TheSportsFixCLE. It's that simple.
Twitter.com/TheSportsFixCLE, baby.
Chat live with the crew during all your favorite Cleveland sports events, tickets and contests and trivia and so much more. Get with us today, The Sports Fix, on social media, Facebook.com/TheSportsFix. Tweet with us at TheSportsFixCLE. Join The Sports Fix on Facebook and Twitter today. Business owners and professionals, do you want to take your business, your product, your team, your event to the next level? You want to advertise right here with The Sports Fix. Our listeners are among the most loyal listeners on the dial, terrestrial or internet, and our audience is one of the greatest and most receptive audiences in all of radio. The Sports Fix universe is not only listeners of the radio show, but tens of thousands of fans on Facebook and Twitter. Our social media universe expands by the day, all in the prime demographics to help drive your business directly into the winner's circle. Don't take my word for it. The Sports Fix comes with reference upon reference that have done business with us in the past and had some fun along the way. For more information on how we can help you knock your business, event, team, product, or promotion out of the park, email me, Jerry Myers, thesportsfix@AOL.com. That's thesportsfix@AOL.com. And let me help you swing for the fences and hit it out of the park. Advertise your product right here on The Sports Fix.
Hey, it's Hugh Hewitt, and when I want to know what's going on with the Cavs, the Browns, and the Tribe, I tune into Sports Fix.
Live in Ohio, it's time to get your fix. The Sports Fix.
Welcome in, my friends. We are live from Ohio, from Cleveland, Ohio, to be exact. Welcome in, my friends. I am your host of the Sports Fix, the Big Daddy on the microphone, J-Rock Jerry Myers, and I am pumped up, as usual, to kick off another week with you. Another jam-packed week here, talking all the spectrum of Cleveland sports and beyond. It's a big sports time nationally now, too, even though the Indians, you know what, this weekend, guys, we had, you know, a little bit of a different weekend here with the Browns playing earlier and the Indian season wrapping up there, you know, so this weekend, got a chance to watch, of course, some OHIO, baby, Buckeyes football, a very good football game, actually, Saturday night. But more than just that, I mean, looking around, I mean, baseball, a lot of good things going on here. You know, the focus remains, even though the Tribe's out of the playoffs, to watch that. How about Oakland? Oakland, the scrappy little team that could every year, they do what they do. They are most definitely the model franchise when it comes to cities like Cleveland, like Tampa Bay. Speaking of Tampa, Tampa getting it put to them by Boston. We'll get in. I'll talk about that a little bit more. Watch some playoffs this weekend. We're going to talk Buckeyes football. It's Monday. That means Dan Wismar from the Cleveland Fan will be with us here live around 1 o'clock. We're going to talk Buckeyes football. First things first, Carlos Hyde is a man with a capital M, and his card cannot be revoked. I will tell you right now. I know about the whole Ohio State players and Cleveland thing or whatever, and I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure that his game's going to translate to Sunday somewhere, and if it does, I sure wouldn't mind a guy like that busting out in some brown and orange and running some people over in the AFC North. Again, who knows if he could keep up that kind of a style that he plays in the NFL, but man, he is seriously a man beast. Although the Buckeyes, the upset was hanging there for the taking, and that could portend later on this season. We're going to talk to Dan Wismar about that. John McMullen from the Sports Network joins us. We're going to talk about the Browns, look back to their victory over the Bills and the high price that it took at the cost of quarterback Brian Hoyer, and now going forward this week with the Lions. Plus, we'll look around the entire NFL Week 5, look ahead to Week 6, the biggest point spread, rightfully so, in NFL history coming up this weekend. Going to talk to John McMullen about all those stories going around the NFL, especially Peyton Manning. I know you guys, listen, man, we've talked the last few weeks about he's like a man possessed this season, but I know if you guys got a chance to see that game, I mean, who would have thought that Tony Romo, and I'll give Tony Romo some credit, because I seriously don't give him much credit at all as a quarterback, or at least I haven't over the past, but what a game it must have been when you throw for 500 yards, when you throw for 5 touchdowns, and everybody's talking about the other quarterback, and everybody's talking about the other team. What a game that was. I don't know how much that speaks to the offenses of the two teams, or the defenses of the two teams, or what, but that was just an incredible display of offensive football there. And Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos just continue to set records. Going to talk to John McMullen about all of that. So it was good from that perspective, being able to watch a little bit more outside the range of just the Browns, just the Indians. You know, had a little bit more of a free weekend. Monsters as well. I'm going to talk about them here in a little bit. I'll tell you what, big weekend. We talked about, I told you guys how proud I was of Cleveland last week with the Indians and the Browns and the putting 115,000 strong between Wednesday and Thursday. You can really chalk up another 25,000 and add it to that total for Friday and Saturday, because Monsters fans came out, and they came out big Friday and Saturday for the opening weekend. Monsters put, I think it was 12,000 or so each night into the place. It was a really good opening weekend for them, even though the results weren't. Matter of fact, second segment, I'm going to talk a little Monsters hockey here. We'll recap the weekend that was for them. All of that. The phone lines are open. Matter of fact, I'm going to open those up right off the bat. 216-539-7535 is the number to call. Pick up the phones. Hey, we've been busy lately, had a lot of guests on the phone. So if you want to get through, you got something to say, whether it's about the Browns, the Indians, the Buckeyes, or anything else, hit us up. 216-539-7535, 216-539-7535. You can hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/thesportsfix. I'll read those comments, of course, throughout the show on the air. And whether you're listening live or if you're listening on digital delay 24 hours a day, we'll read those on the show. It keeps the whole 24-hour universe going here. So hit us up, Facebook or Twitter. Tweet with us at The Sports Fix CLE, at The Sports Fix CLE. Again, we'll read those. You can email us, thesportsfix@aol.com. And remember, your one-stop shop for all things, not only Cleveland sports, but The Sports Fix is the website, thesportsfix.net. And it's where we broadcast, it's where we launch the broadcast live each and every weekday at noon Eastern right here, thesportsfix.net. Or you can get replays of all the different shows. You can find our social media widgets and so much more, thesportsfix.net. Whew, big show here later on. Like I told you guys, John McMullen, Dan Wismar coming up. I want to start first things first, though. Let's give things away. When I say big show, big Monday, for those of you that are new to the show, perhaps you don't know, one of the sponsors of the Sports Fix, GV Art and Design, of course, makers of some of the best Cleveland sports apparel out there. Well, each and every Monday, we give you the opportunity to win a Cleveland. It doesn't matter. You get to pick the shirt. I was going to tell you what shirt it was. That's not how we do it. You get to pick the shirt. The shirt of your choice from GV Artwork. It could be the Cleveland that I love design. It could be a Cavaliers. Hey, they're getting ready to kick off. We'll talk a little Cavs basketball here. They had the wine and gold scrimmage over the weekend as well, till it got a little bit slippery in the stadium. But whatever t-shirt it is, you can go to gvartwork.com, pick out the shirt of your choice. We give one away each and every week right here on the show. How do you win? You share the show. It's that simple. You send out a link on Facebook or Twitter. You tag us in it, and you tell people to listen right now. Say, hey, I'm listening to The Sports Fix. Go over to thesportsfix.net. Make sure you tag us in the post so that we see it. Tweet it out. Tell somebody to listen to the show. Or if you're listening to the replay, send it out on your Facebook or Twitter and show us that you shared it, and we get your name in the hopper. Every week, there's a few hundred names here, right here in the hopper. I reach in. I pull one name out every Monday to kick off the week, and you get to win the shirt of your choice. You get to look through them all, pick the shirt of your choice. And don't forget, hey, if you don't win, anytime you make a purchase from GV Art and Design, you can save 10% on your total purchase just for using the code FIX. But right now, I say it's time we give a shirt away. I say it's time we dig in here, dig into the hopper. And if you don't win, hey, as soon as I'm done drawing this here, we start it over. So you can share this show right now that you're listening to and get your name in for next week. I'll tell you what, this week too, near record number of entries this week. Again, guys, thank you so much for sharing it, because without you guys, we've got nothing going on, really. All right, this week, the winner of the GV Artwork Sports Fix Share to Win t-shirt. I'm not sure what your real name is. I've got your Twitter handle here. Cavalette23. Cavalette23, at Cavalette23. I will hit you up on Twitter if you're not listening to the show. If you are, congratulations. You've won the shirt of your choice from GV Art and Design. If not, I will hit you up on Twitter and I will let you know how you can collect that. Congratulations to our winner, Cavalette23 on Twitter, at Cavalette23. You guys can tweet her and tell her congratulations as well. And now the hopper's clear and it's open again, so you can start sharing the show. Tell somebody else to listen, and we'll make sure to drop your name in the hopper next Monday at noon. We give away another GV Artwork t-shirt of your choice. And don't forget, check them out. Cleveland that we all can love, gvartwork.com. All right, so jumping back into it, talking about this weekend, man, and then Buckeyes, we're going to dive into it. I see you guys in the chat room over here on Mixler are already going deep into that. But look at the past weekend. It was a pretty good weekend. Another thing I want to talk to John McMullen about, too, we were talking at the end of last week, the name Josh Freeman thrown out there all over the place. He was picked up. Word this morning, he signs with the Minnesota Vikings, so that's something else to talk about. But I wanted to talk a little bit about baseball because, you know, this weekend I caught myself watching all the games because you're still, you know, still so fresh off of everything ending with the Indian season and ending kind of suddenly, even though, yeah, you were happy to get there, but it still was kind of a sudden end because once you got there, you wanted it to keep going on. So I'm definitely still full blast into baseball mode. I'm not sure about you guys. So watching these series and seeing what's going on, you know, and you've got to pick up, of course, a new rooting interest. I don't like being, and I don't all the time, being one of those guys who, you know, roots for somebody else's failure, you know, just because our team doesn't succeed. You see that too much or whatever here. But our team did succeed, first off. So I have no need to hate on anybody this year. But I've definitely kind of made, you know, the Oakland A's my little bit of preferential treatment here when it comes to the playoffs. That's kind of my rooting interest right now because they're sitting right across from the Motor City Kitties there, and wouldn't it be something to see them with the big money and the big payroll and all the big boppers and Miguel Cabrera and all of that stuff, see them get knocked out by the Oakland A's. But, you know, Pittsburgh, they after a rough start to the series, they sit one win away from advancing to the championship series for the first time since, I believe it'd be, 92 against the Braves. I'll have to look that up. But, you know, they're grabbing control of their series. The Dodgers grab control there. So today's going to be a swing day. If you're following the MLB playoffs, today's really kind of a swing day because you've got Boston's up 2-0. Tampa, it's win or go home here. They've been there, though. Tampa's had win or go home for the last, you know, week and a half here, where they took care of business with Texas, and they had to obviously come here and handle things with Cleveland. So they're in that same position because now they got to win two in a row at home to bring it back to Boston to try to get out of there. So shaky ground there, Tampa. And it makes you wonder sometimes, you play the what if. What would the Indians have done had they beat Tampa Bay? It makes you wonder how they would match up, because we talk about how, you know, Cobb, a lot of people said Cobb beat the Indians and he's the third best pitcher on Tampa. Well, we saw what happened with Price, their best pitcher. So, you know, what would have happened? You never know. It's one of those what ifs. But I wonder how the Indians would have matched up. I think they may have matched up better in certain areas than Tampa. But again, Tampa's got that pitching, and it hasn't helped them so far. So they're must win today. Pittsburgh chance to take it home today, 3:00, and then the early game today is Oakland and Detroit, and that, of course, the swing game. You know, game three in a 5-game series is always the big kind of key swing there, you know. And over the weekend, had so many people, you know, and you gotta love it after the fact, because if the Indians would have won, nobody had a problem with the one and done. But so many people going, Derek, what do you think, shouldn't it have been a series? I do agree. I'll tell you though, you know, it is what it is when it comes to the Indians. That's the thing, and that's why you put the focus on winning the division. That's why I like when any whatever the sport is, when they put that emphasis and that reward on winning your conference, your division, whatever it is, and you got to make it more difficult. It's the only way you can truly reward the difference. Otherwise, there's no difference between winning your division or sneaking in and winning the last wild card. So to me, that's what makes that. And if you don't want to do that, and if you don't want to play one and done, then go beat Detroit next year. Gear up in the offseason and go beat Detroit. Now, there's a whole nother conversation on our Facebook page, on one of our Facebook pages, Friends of the Sports Fix. It's not even ours, but Bruce Wood put that together. There was some good – I saw some things over the weekend because now – and we'll be talking about this during the offseason because now it shifts to what do the Indians do. Next year, you know, this year, 92 wins was a great surprise. That's even a handful of wins more than I had them at. I had them around 88 to 90. So they still won a few more than I thought, and that's great. But next year now – you're going to have the weight on top of the season and on top of what comes with baseball. You're going to have the weight of those expectations that you didn't have this season. So it's going to be a different animal for the Indians. It's going to be a different beast when it comes to national expectations, when it comes to local and the fans and their own expectations as well. And now it becomes a tough act to follow. Your own act becomes a tough act to follow. And I do believe they can. I think they will. And I think that's going to be one of the interesting themes to talk about in the offseason. One other thing before I hit the first break here that I wanted to talk about is, speaking of those conversations that some people were having on our Facebook page, I'm a little bit baffled at the people that are calling the Indians' loss last week, not calling it, okay, I get calling it a disappointment from the aspect of you wanted more, but people are lumping it in the same category as Red Right 88, in the same category as the drive and the fumble and Game 7 of the World Series. To me, and tell me if I'm wrong, you guys, feel free to tell me if I'm way off base here, but it's not even close. That's not anywhere similar. This wasn't a highly favored team that came in and had a misfortunate bounce go the wrong way or whatever it was, whether it was the drive, whether it was meeting up against greatness that was just a little bit greater than what you had, whether it was, you know, putting the ball in the hands of your guy and he just doesn't get it done in the bottom of the ninth or whatever it was, but different circumstances. This wasn't a World Series losing game. This wasn't a championship losing game. Just to me, I don't know how you link this in. And the national media is so guilty of that as well. How do you link that in? And it's not like I'm sitting here saying, yay, I'm happy we made it to the playoffs. Of course I wanted more. I'm not saying that. Everybody gets into that. But I just don't understand why people, fans and media alike, are tying it in and they're adding it to the tragedy reel. You know, that tragedy reel that always plays before anything that we do nowadays. They have to show you. It doesn't matter. The Indians could be doing anything. We could have a school board meeting and somebody's going to roll a clip of the drive and the fumble before they vote on the school board meeting. I'm just saying. So you can pick apart, Vashon, you know, you guys in the chat room with different things about the actual game. But what my point is there's no nickname to be attached to this game. It doesn't get added to the litany of those heartbreaking, you know, only in Cleveland moments that we talk about. Those things, the lore, the legacy, those. I mean, come on, how do you compare this to that? This was a great season that caught a lot of people by surprise. Even the ones that expected good, it caught some of them better. But it was a good season. It was the beginning. It was the base of what's going to be a run, theoretically, of the next few years. How good it gets, you have to see the moves that they make. But it's the beginning of the next run that's going to happen for the Indians, just like the Browns are at the beginning of the next run that's going to happen for them, and the Cavs, the same thing there. So that's my thought on that whole thing, is that's a totally different scenario. And how can you tie that in there? Look, Cleveland failed again. Look at Cleveland. They're crying in their beer. Who was crying in their beer? I mean, that was a good season that ended probably, realistically looking at it now, where it should, maybe a little bit further. Because I do believe that they may have done a little better than Tampa's doing here against Boston. But at the end of the day, you know, even with, as we saw, we have good pitching, but they didn't have a problem. Tampa didn't have a problem hitting some of that pitching, and the bats at Boston are much superior to the bats at Tampa. So I think we'd have had our moments, for sure. I think we'd have had a couple of pitching duels, but you saw what happened when we played Boston during the regular season. It was a little different than when we played Tampa. When we played Boston this year during the regular season, when they beat us up. And they've got the bats. They've got that kind of lineup to do that. So I still think had we gotten past that, had we gotten past that one-game thing, most likely, you never know, because it is, you know, whatever, anything can happen. But most likely, we went about as far as this team should have went. Maybe a hair short, maybe a hair longer, however you want to look at it. But that's my point. This wasn't, you know, the 95 Indians getting knocked off in the first round of the playoffs by a wild card team. This wasn't, you know, a 14-2 Browns team getting beaten in the wild card game. You know what I mean? This isn't that. This isn't, you know, a LeBron James number one seed Cavs team getting knocked out by the eighth seed in the first round. None of the crazy things that have happened over the years. This is none of that. This was simply a good Indians team and a good Indians run that came to an end. So it just, it kind of drives me crazy when I see how, you know, whether it's locally or whether it's nationally, you know, I saw so many people go, saying those crazy things like, oh, I'm going to go jump off the bridge now. It happened to us again. What happened to us again? We lost a game that we probably shouldn't have been in, and it'll get us hopefully fortified and motivated to do what we've got to do in the offseason and do it again. But that's not it to me. You know what I mean? Like, maybe if you allowed yourself to get, like, you know, I get the 10 in a row at the end of the season. Maybe that's why maybe you look at it as a disappointment, but I can't see it. But anyways, we got plenty of time to talk about that and hot stove, but we can't even get into that until they finish this season up. It's going to be interesting to see after today who goes on and how many of these series keep going. Then the dynamic changes from a 5-game to a 7-game. We'll talk more about that, and of course, follow the Tribe through the hot stove. Congratulations again, Cavalette23 on Twitter. You won the T-shirt from GV Art and Design. We're going to take a break. When we come back, did you feel like a monster this weekend? 25,000-plus did on Friday and Saturday, even though a little bit shaky on the results. So when we come back, we'll catch you up on the opening weekend of Monsters Hockey. Talk a little Cavs, Browns, NFL coming up, Buckeyes football, and so much more. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Sports Fix, Daddy.
This is the Sports Fix.
Are you talking to me?
Yes.
Are you talking to me?
Yes.
Are you talking to me?
Yes.
Hey, call me Mr. Pig! Ah!
We'll call you whatever you like, as long as we can call you a fan of the Sports Fix.
Guys, want to take just a second as we head into this break and remind you about the official business printing source of the Sports Fix, our friends at Signs and Ship. Signs and Ship, I'm telling you, Chris and Pam, they've taken care of me since day one, and they can do the same for you. Whether you're a small business that's already been established and you're looking to grow to that next level and expand your business, or perhaps you've got an idea that you just know is going to be a great business and you need to figure out how to brand it and how to promote it and put it out there, Signs and Ship is the place for you. If you need a logo, they can create one for you. They have a fantastic graphic designer. Business cards, signs, banners, yard signs, mobile advertising, anything you can think of that you need to promote your business, they've got it at Signs and Ship. The best thing about them, too, is each of their locations, whether it's the home base here in Elyria, Ohio, that I work with, or their spots in Virginia, Florida, and Pennsylvania, it's all local sourced. Very important to me because we all understand that small business is the lifeblood of the community. So check them out, signsandship.com, or call Chris and Pam today, 440-323-6060, the home office in Elyria, Ohio. Signs and Ship, quality printing at affordable prices.
You're listening to The Sports Fix. We'll be right back.
Football season is party season at Harry Buffalo North Olmsted. Everyone wins at Harry Buffalo. Every Saturday is Coors Light College Football Saturday with $6 pitchers, four bottles for $10, and the Buckeyes in full HD. Football season is most definitely party season, and your headquarters is Harry Buffalo North Olmsted all winter long. Harry Buffalo, join the herd. Sports Fix listeners, like us on Facebook today. Facebook.com/TheSportsFix.
You love
love Cleveland. And you already know how much we love Cleveland. You know who else loves Cleveland? GV Art and Design. Everyday fans, you and I wear our pride on our sleeves. Now, you can wear your pride on your chest. GV Art and Design has one of the hottest Cleveland sporting lines. Whether it's their Cleveland That I Love design, or perhaps it's the Superman Birthplace of a Hero line of team-themed designs, whether you're a fan of the Indians or Browns, the Lake Erie Monsters or the CSU Vikings, the Cleveland Cavaliers, or just Cleveland in general, GV Art and Design has a logo, design, or style for you. Sports Fix listeners, as a special treat, every time you make a purchase from GV Art and Design, use the sales code FIX and save 10% on your total purchase. Log on right now to GVArtwork.com, check out all of their fantastic designs, and don't forget, use the sales code FIX to save 10% on your total purchase. Follow GVArtwork.com on Facebook, and remember, GV Art and Design, it's not just a shirt, it's a statement.
Portions of the Sports Fix brought to you by Quick Lane at Valley Ford Truck, home of the low price tire guarantee. QuickLane.com/Valley Ford Truck.
Hey everybody, this is Jerry the King Lawler from WWE, and you're listening to the Sports Fix.
Feel like a monster.
Welcome back to the Sports Fix, streaming live here on the sportsfix.net or around the world 24 hours a day on digital delay. Whether you're listening live, whether you're listening on iHeartRadio, iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, SoundCloud, wherever you're at, thank you so much for joining us. And hey, you know what? It's about that time of year. For those of you that are new to the show, or maybe you've only been listening since we've added all the new, you know, bells and whistles here in the summer, that music here means it's time for some Monsters hockey, baby. Here in Cleveland, the AHL is strong. The Lake Erie Monsters, one of my favorite minor league franchises in all of sports is the Lake Erie Monsters. And it's not just, you know, because they're here. I mean, I'm not the biggest hockey fan in the world, but I'm a big appreciator of the way franchises treat the community, the way franchises, you know, interact with their community, the success that they have, the all-around, you know, package. And I think that some leech from communities, and I don't care for those type of teams, and some are really an addition to their communities. Lake Erie Monsters, to me, are one of those. Welcome back to the Sports Fix. J-Rock with you. And, you know, the Monsters have had, not only that, they've had a history of success. They're a Dan Gilbert-owned team, and much like Dan Gilbert has shown with his other businesses, you know, the Monsters have, you know, even though they're a, you know, I guess the AAA would be a baseball equivalent of what they are for the NHL's Colorado Avalanche, which means, first off, a lot of times people confuse the differences in different types of independent leagues and different types of minor leagues or whatever. The AHL is the official affiliated minor league of the National Hockey League, and therefore, as I said, the parent club for the Monsters is the Colorado Avalanche. So if you followed the Monsters, you know that throughout the season, then that's one of the reasons why I appreciate especially the coaching staffs when it comes to the Lake Erie Monsters and their ability to work on the fly throughout the season, because they're constantly having players pulled out and taken up to Colorado there, however the parent club needs and determines that they need, and the Monsters, but yet the Monsters have to be a self-contained entity too. They have to continue to win as well, for both for drawing purposes as well as because you learn how to win in the Monsters is how you learn how to win when you play for the Avalanche. And the last two seasons, we talked a little bit about this on Friday, the last two seasons ended without the playoffs, which is a bit of a departure from what the Monsters have seen. And if you guys know Monsters playoff hockey, it gets a little bit rowdy. Some people, I talked to a few people who went out this weekend for the first time, and as I said at the open of the show, hats off to Cleveland, because they pack it, you know, 12, almost 13,000 each night, Friday and Saturday, for opening weekend. I mean, think about that. That is a hell of a crowd for AHL hockey. Think about all the other teams around here. Think about the Indians. In all reality, there were nights that they approached that during the down, you know, worst drawing games of this season. So think about that. And that's a Major League Baseball franchise. Cavaliers, you could say the same thing on some of the lowest of the low days. That's probably around the same attendance that was in the queue there. It doubles, blows away what the Cleveland Gladiators put into the queue, and they play in the exact same building, and that's a different type of mind. There's the difference, because that's an independent league. Those guys are, no offense to the Gladiators, but they're significantly a set lower than, obviously, not just NFL players, but even high-level college players. So that's a different, totally different animal, whereas this is guys good enough to play in the dance right now, guys good enough to be there that are learning, polishing, biding their time. And Coach Dean Chenault, too, it's his second year here, a well-regarded coach. So, again, it probably sounds like I'm just shilling for the Monsters, but, you know, there's a lot of assets around Cleveland that people don't dig into enough. And I just think the Monsters is one of them. I think you guys get out and see them. It's a good time. It's a good way to kill some time. Like, it entertains the hell out of my kids. I'm telling you, it amazes me just because it's a sport that they don't follow yet. When they go there, they get into the whole deal. So anyways, this weekend, big crowds. And we talked about the Indians sometimes where they had the biggest crowds. You know, they laid some eggs. And the Monsters, things were going good Friday night. You had 13,000. They're rocking the queue. Monsters are up 1-0. They got the power play. They're getting ready to, you know, hopefully, you would think, theoretically, go up 2-0. And then, boom, in a matter of about 6 minutes or so, the game completely swings, and then you get your first loss of the season. Abbotsford Heat, that's one of the more rivalry teams there. One of the better teams as well, I think, this season. Looking forward to talking to Doug Plagans about that. Both of the teams they played this weekend, Abbotsford and Toronto, both pretty good teams. But Monsters here, 1 second, it looks like they're on the verge of going up 2-0, and then boom, in the second period, about a 6-minute stretch, like I said, 3 Abbotsford goals. They go up 3-1. They suck the life out of the crowd, and that was really just pretty much the end of the story there. A late goal, but again, 12,123 packed the queue Friday night, but it wasn't enough, and they fall 5-2 to Abbotsford. They get back at it the next day, though, and there's what you like to see. They bounce back the next day with Abbotsford, and they take the second game. They take a 3-2 win, another big crowd there. So you wanted to see that going away. You didn't want to start the season 0-2. And another reason it's important, we talk about it with the Indians too, because these guys in the Cavs, they have the longer schedules, different than football. Last 2 years, the Monsters have scrambled and had incredibly hot last months of the season. They've gone on runs to end the season, and they've fallen a point short or a few points short of the playoffs the last few years in a row. And you can look back to games that they dropped early in the season. We talk about this each year. We talked with Ben Holden. We talked with Doug Plagans. Over the years, that's been the last few years, that's the Achilles heel. They dug deep in it last year. They started the season stronger last year, but then they had their struggles in January, February before they picked it up at the end. So, and then they go on the road here. Like I said, Toronto, another team, they open the season undefeated this weekend as well. Toronto handles the Monsters 5-1. 3 games in 3 nights, always a tough stretch and always a tough run for any team there. Monsters end that stretch 1-2. Now a chance to catch their breath before they get back at it. As I said, we're going to get Doug Plagans on. I'm waiting to catch up with him. Hopefully tomorrow Doug's with us. We'll go through the whole thing with him. And plus, yeah, I can talk some Monsters hockey because I enjoy it. And I think there's going to be some fun action this year. But nobody talks Monsters hockey like Doug Plagans. So I'm definitely looking forward to getting Dougie on the show here tomorrow. And we'll catch up with all of that and so much more. Matter of fact, I'm going to take a break right now because John McMullen's already getting ready to call in. When we come back, we're going to shift gears from Monsters hockey to some NFL football. It was a big slate of games this weekend. The Browns kicked it off on Thursday. They end it tonight on Monday Night Football. In between, there were some pretty good games and some pretty good storylines. Plus, of course, we know what happened with the Browns and now where they sit with the quarterback position. All of that and more. We're going to talk to John McMullen from the Sports Network about it when we come back. Plus, don't forget, Dan Wismar from the Cleveland Fans going to join us talking OSU Buckeye football. Carlos Hyde, he is a man beast. You can just say that my college football crush for the rest of the season is all Carlos Hyde. The way he played the other night, I just want to watch him run folks over. We're going to talk to Dan Wismar from the Cleveland Fan, talk a little Cavaliers wine and gold scrimmage, so much more still to come. We've only just cracked the top on this Sports Fix, Daddy.
When it comes to Cleveland sports, we go from
"I can't touch this"
to
"I can't watch this."
So listen to The Fix. It's easier on the eyes.
I'll tell you what, whether you just started listening to the show today or you've been listening since the beginning of the Sports Fix, you know that our thing is how proud we are to be from Cleveland, to be in Cleveland, and to get the opportunity to broadcast and represent Cleveland to the world live right here on the Sports Fix each and every weekday. Well, I'll tell you what, that same sentence could just replace the word Sports Fix with our friends GV Art and Design and have the same statement, because GV Artwork, you guys have seen their stuff all over town, makers of some of the best Cleveland sports apparel you'll ever see. Unique, original designs. Fantastic. They say Cleveland that I love, and then they put it on their chest, and they put it on your chest, too. Don't forget, we tell you all the time, use the sales code FIX. Any purchase you make with GVArtwork.com, you'll save 10% on your total purchase just for letting them know that you heard about it right here on the Sports Fix. So whether you check them out, GVArtwork.com, or check out the brand new store in Lakewood on Detroit Avenue, they are fantastic people with a fantastic product. Cleveland that we all can love. GV Art and Design. It's not just a shirt. It's a statement.
It's an addiction. The Sports Fix. We'll be right back.
Business owners and professionals, do you want to take your business, your product, your team, your event to the next level? You want to advertise right here with the Sports Fix. Our listeners are among the most loyal listeners, terrestrial or internet. The Sports Fix universe is not only the radio show, but tens of thousands of fans on Facebook and Twitter. Email me, Jerry Myers, thesportsfix@AOL.com. That's thesportsfix@AOL.com. And let me help you swing for the fences and hit it out of the park right here on the Sports Fix.
I'm here again with Bill Opelich from Quick Lane at Valley Ford. Bill, what's new in the Quick Lane?
Battery rebate. Summer is just as hard on your battery as the winter. Quick Lane at Valley Ford will test your battery at no charge. And if you need a battery, we have a $25 mail-in rebate on the purchase of a tested tough Motorcraft battery starting at $79.95.
Wow, that's a great deal, Bill. Tell me more.
Our brake rebate is still on until June 30th. $25 per axle with the purchase and installation of Motorcraft brake pads, as well as offering a $50 rebate when you purchase $250 or more and charge your Ford genuine credit card. Some exclusions apply. As always, we have a low price guarantee on all our tires. If you find the same price within 30 days, we will refund the difference. Stop in, let us check your battery and top off your washer fluid.
Where do I have to go to get those great deals?
Come to Quick Lane at Valley Ford on Canal Road between Rockside and Granger in Valley View, just 10 minutes from downtown Cleveland. We're open at 7 every day. Open late Monday through Thursday till 9, Friday till 6, and Saturday till 2.
Go to quicklane.com/Valley Ford Truck.
Need the perfect ingredients for a great tailgating experience? All you need are good friends, football, and your favorite food served hot off the propane grill. When grilling, keep the grill top open when lighting, and don't close it until you're sure the grill is lit. Use soapy water to check for leaks between the hose and cylinder connections. Never use an open flame. Always transport and store cylinders in an upright position, and never store or use cylinders indoors. For more tips, visit usepropane.com.
Hey, Cleveland. This is Anderson Varejão of the Cleveland Cavaliers. You are listening to the Sports Fix.
Good morning. I'm Bob Picozzi. When the Bills host Cincinnati next Sunday, the starting quarterback will be Thad Lewis. He's been activated from the practice squad and will replace rookie E.J. Manuel, who sprained his knee in last Thursday's loss to Cleveland. Charles Woodson tied an NFL record with his 13th career defensive touchdown in Oakland's 27-17 Sunday night home win over San Diego. Colin Kaepernick passed for only 113 yards, but the 49ers still thumped Houston 34-3 last night in San Francisco. The Braves will face elimination tonight in Los Angeles following a 13-6 loss to the Dodgers last night. Manager Freddie Gonzalez's team trails in their National League Division Series 2-1.
It's a club that you can't make mistakes, or you can't have base runners, because they got some guys in the middle of the lineup that could really, really hurt you.
It will be Freddie Garcia for the Braves, Ricky Nolasco for the Dodgers tonight in Game 4, 9 Eastern Time on ESPN Radio. According to ESPN and media reports, the Philadelphia Flyers this morning have fired coach Peter Laviolette 3 games into the season. That makes first-year Eagles coach Chip Kelly the longest-tenured current professional coach or manager in Philadelphia.
What's trending right now at Subway? It's the Tuscan Chicken Melt $6 footlong special. Temptingly tender grilled chicken seasoned with Italian herbs and topped with tangy balsamic vinaigrette. Flavor-packed and low-fat. Get yours before it's gone. Subway. Eat fresh.
You're listening to The Sports Fix.
We
Welcome back to the Sports Fix, streaming live here on the sportsfix.net. J-Rock with you, and we are rocking and rolling another Monday here. A little bit different with the Browns having played earlier. How about that during the news? I was going to bring that up earlier. Figured I'd wait till we hit football time. Thad Lewis, old Thaddeus Lewis. He was here last year. He was the developmental project of Pat Shurmur here. A lot of people were intrigued to see more about him here. That didn't pan out, but now you heard it. He leapfrogs from the practice squad in Buffalo. Ironically, the Cleveland Browns handed him the opportunity there to take over the at least temporarily and see what he can do. Thad Lewis, you heard it. Doug Marone makes him the starter there for Buffalo. What's that? The Browns started the trend here a few weeks ago of jumping over the backup quarterback to the third string quarterback, man. I'll tell you what. But teams looking for a spark, man, and teams looking outside the box. I think that's part of that, too. I think sometimes, a lot of times, that gets wrapped up. People get wrapped up in perceptions. People get wrapped up in draft picks and positions and star status. You know what I mean? All the things that I guess are status but are not, you know, are not reality. And I think we're seeing that here. We saw that with Brian Hoyer when so many people scoffed at, oh, they're bringing up the practice squad quarterback. Same thing you hear here. But apparently, you know, as I've said, and I said this when the Browns made the move to Hoyer, and I only had, just like you guys, limited book on Hoyer. I said, here's my opinion. Here's why I think it might work. I don't know for sure, but I know that general managers and CEOs like Joe Banner can plan for next year. I know that coaches like Rob Chudzinski don't have the luxury of planning for next year. They don't make moves that aren't in their best interest. And that's why I thought he must have seen something. And clearly, we saw how it all played out. Anyways, welcome back to the Sports Fix. J-Rock with you. As you can hear, we're shifting and talking a little NFL football week five. What a week it was. And that means on Mondays, we're talking to John McMullen from the Sports Network. John, how you doing this afternoon, my man?
Doing well. Thanks for having me, Jerry.
Hey, glad to have you each and every week. And what a week it was. It kicked off Thursday night with the Browns. A big win for the Browns, but it comes at a heavy, heavy cost with Brian Hoyer being done for the season.
Yeah, it was. It's just one of those things. You're so excited over getting a win, and then at the cost of losing the guy who put so much juice into the organization and the city by winning those two games, and he seemed to be obviously when he scrambles for a first down and gets injured at the end of it, it was a tough blow. But, you know, give Brandon Weeden a lot of credit, because there weren't a lot of people who believed in him in that town and certainly in his own organization. And he wasn't spectacular, but he played well, and he played well enough to get him a win. And, you know, we're talking today, and the Cleveland Browns are in first place. And, you know, we'll see how it goes moving forward. Obviously, it's going to be a tough test for Whedon's mental stability for more than anything else, because, you know, it's pretty clear his organization had given up on him, and now he's got to play again, and it'll be a test for him, a test for his fortitude and obviously his physical skills, but we'll see how it goes from here.
Absolutely, because that's part of the equation when we're talking about that and Brandon Weeden coming back in. It's not just we not only still the same limitations that we were dealing with before, but as you said, the mental state of the fact that, remember that in the third week here when Hoyer was starting for the third time in a row, the Browns had the option of putting Brandon Weeden in. He was completely cleared. At that point, they still made the choice actively to put Weeden on the bench, which, like you said, plays into now testing your fortitude and seeing if you can shake that off and move forward mentally after being skipped over. And speaking of skipped over, as Vashon puts it in the chat room, reminds me perfectly, what does this all say about Jason Campbell, who has just been leapfrogged by everybody in this whole equation?
Well, I think Jason Campbell was brought in to be the backup, and I don't think it's really going to affect him that much, because he understood coming in that he was there only to be the backup, and I think that's his role at this stage of the game in the NFL, and I think he's okay with that. So I'm not as concerned with him, but anytime you have a guy who was a first-round pick and you know, was you know, thought to be the franchise by the previous administration. We've seen it around the league. If you look at the confidence shaken in quarterbacks like Sam Bradford and Christian Ponder, and even a veteran like Matt Schaub, if you saw him yesterday, and how much confidence plays into this game. Yeah, you need the physical ability, but you also need the ability to go out there and play sort of unfettered mentally, and that's a bigger hurdle than most people understand, especially in a high-profile position like a starting quarterback on an NFL team, because let's face it, you're under the microscope, and some guys hear criticism and it rolls right off their back, and others, you know, have rabbit ears and really take that to heart, and it affects their performance on the field. And so far, you know, I think Whedon has let that get to him a little bit. And, you know, now he's got that in the back of his mind, no matter what that organization says, in the back of his mind, he knows this is a group that gave up on him, doesn't want him. And he's got a lot of proving to do because, you know, he's not only playing for the Cleveland Browns this year and they're in it and you know, the AFC North is up for grabs, but he's also playing for his future. And that if that future is not going to be in Cleveland, he's got to convince some other team that he could possibly be the answer. So there are a lot of ways to look at it. But obviously, you know, for Cleveland, they certainly wanted Brian Hoyer to be the guy moving forward. And unfortunately for them, that's not going to be able to happen.
Now, let me ask you, I've been looking forward to talking to you about this because looking at Brian Hoyer, we've seen, you know, in a small sample of what he's done, you know, two games, and my first thought to that is when people say, well, the sample size on Brian Hoyer is too small, I say it's still two games bigger than any college quarterback that you take in the draft because you have no clue what they're going to do in the NFL. But do you think that the Browns are going to give consideration to doing something with Hoyer going forward, or do they just completely focus on the draft? Do you think that these two games give them any pause when it comes to what they're going to do in the offseason?
I think it gives them a little pause. I'm not sure how much now with the injury, and I think that'll be, you know, clarified by how this season goes. I think if they're looking at a top 10 pick, I think this draft coming up is so quarterback heavy, I think they would certainly look at that as probably their top priority. Now, if the Browns continue to excel, you know, and all of a sudden their draft choices, you know, in the mid-teens down to the 20 area, then you start saying, well, you know, a quarterback at that stage is no given. So at that point, you start to think about Hoyer and the fact that Mike Lombardi has always liked him as a player and the fact that he showed some things. Now, you're right, though. I mean, that's a small sample size, and while he did win the two games and, you know, actually gets credit for that third win as a starter, first Cleveland quarterback since Otto Graham. So, but there were some bad throws against Minnesota, and that's the kind of thing you look at and say that's experience, and there are still question marks on him too. We don't want to talk about Brian Hoyer like he was the answer. So I think there was no, again, my theory with NFL front offices is don't listen to what they say, just watch what they do. And to me, it was pretty clear that Joe Banner and Mike Lombardi, when they made the moves, when they made the move to Hoyer and when they traded Trent Richardson, it was all about getting up in that draft to get a Teddy Bridgewater, to get a Boyd out of Clemson, to get a Hundley out of UCLA. So, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that plan is concrete, but it was certainly their thinking before this little run started.
Absolutely, you know, and that's all going to be a big part of what that front office has got to think about here. I could really see a situation, because they do have Hoyer, it's not guaranteed, but we do have him under contract for another season. I could definitely see them, Vachon said, being a bridge, but I could see them using Hoyer as the starter next season and doing what they should have been able to do with these 20 million other quarterbacks drafted early in the draft, which is actually let them sit and let them learn, just like Brian Hoyer sat behind Tom Brady. If we were so enamored by the Tom Brady type things that he seemed to bring to the offense as far as the things he learned from New England, then that would seem to me the ideal guy that you would want to teach your Teddy Bridgewater or whoever that guy is to teach him, you know, for a year without throwing him right in the fire, even though that's the new thing in the NFL is to just throw the guy right out there.
Yeah, that's the trend, and I think that kind of hurt. I think the success of the guys from last year's draft, your Andrew Luck, your RG3s, Russell Wilson, I think that kind of skewed the thinking a little bit, and I'm not sure I agree with that. I'm kind of in your camp there. I think that they were the exception, not the rule. And as, again, if you go back to the draft before that, when you see your Ponders, your Jake Lockers, while he was starting to get it before he got injured, he had performed poorly before that. And obviously Blaine Gabbert at the top of that draft has performed very poorly. And even, you know, and Andy Dalton, okay, he's had some success, but he's not overwhelming people. And Colin Kaepernick, a second rounder, he got to watch for a while. He got to learn under Alex Smith. So I think the guys last year, I think the Lux of the world and the RG3s are sort of the exception to the rule. And I'd be very wary about just throwing guys in there week one and expecting them to perform at that kind of level.
Yeah, you mentioned Alex Smith. Think about that now. I mean, he's managing the game. He's controlling. He's not turning the ball over. Look at what he's doing, though, in Kansas City. Tell me that Colin Kaepernick did not improve by learning how to be an NFL quarterback behind him, whether it was for 6 weeks or 6 months or however long it was. You can't tell me that doesn't rub off on a guy like Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, I mean, there's examples all over the league. I mean, think about how long Aaron Rodgers sat behind Brett Favre. So, you know, there are more than one way to look at things, but there's so much pressure when you pick a guy in the top 10 to get him on the field quickly. And that's not only at the quarterback position, but other positions. But obviously, quarterback is the most important position. It's the most complicated position, and it's the one probably, you know, it's going to be the most difficult to step into from day one. So guys can do it. Andrew Luck's proven that. RG3's proven that. But just because they've been able to do it doesn't mean Teddy Bridgewater's going to be able to do it.
And I'll tell you what, while we're on the subject of quarterbacks, because I want to talk a little bit more about that Browns game, but while we're talking quarterbacks, the Browns still obviously have a need in a number three quarterback. We've heard some different names bandied about already. I wasn't really enamored with anything I've heard. What's anything you've heard on where the Browns are thinking on going with their third quarterback position?
Yeah, I've heard a little bit on Tyler Thigpen.
Yeah, me too.
You know, I, and he was a decent a backup in Miami, got a few starts, but didn't really do anything in Buffalo. Was originally a seventh-round draft pick of the Vikings from Coastal Carolina. So it's not like he's got that big pedigree, but he's a smart guy. He's got the quick release. And let's face it, when you're in the fifth week of the NFL season, you're not going to be picking up guys who are stars on the street. That's just not how it works. So it's going to be a guy like that. I wouldn't be surprised if it's that. I know Lombardi liked him in the past. You know, once they passed on Josh Freeman, I think that was the only big name out there. And I didn't sense much interest at all from Cleveland when it came to Josh Freeman. It's certainly just going to be a stopgap type guy.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up because that was out there, and I thought, wow, coincidentally, right here he gets released. I thought maybe they'd kick the tires, but like you said, no interest at all on the part of the Browns, and now we find out this morning, you brought up Christian Ponder earlier, he's going to go in an attempt there to stabilize the quarterback position in Minnesota. How do you think, just you know, looking at the situation, do you think that has the possibility of helping the Vikings there, or do you think that's just going to add to their problems?
It can go either way. I mean, if you buy into some of the narrative that Tampa Bay was trying to paint this guy as, it certainly they tried to paint him as a guy who wasn't a hard worker, who wasn't a team leader. I don't have a ton of respect for Greg Schiano, so I got to be honest, I don't know which side to believe in this kind of he said, she said thing, but I do know he's far more talented than Christian Ponder or Matt Cassel. I do know this is a guy who once threw for 4,000 yards, 25 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. He will be going into a situation, and you saw it when Cleveland beat Minnesota, where teams load the box to stop Adrian Peterson. And by load the box, I mean you will see 8- and 9-man fronts consistently. And that's the only team in football that really generates that kind of attention in the running game. And that should make it easy to play action. And you saw it a little bit from Matt Cassel in London. He was able to get the ball downfield pretty consistently, which tells you how poorly Ponder was performing. So I'll just say Josh Freeman has a lot of talent, and this is a good situation on paper for him. Now he's got to prove he's a hard worker, and he's got to pick up a new system. And because if he starts hitting the ground running there's a place he could be for 5-6 years and have a lot of success.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. You know, I was one of the guys that thought, you know, hey, maybe the Browns might, like I said, kick the tires on that, but apparently not. But looking back, let's look at that game. Let's look at the Buffalo game, because the Browns, as you said, they sit 3-2. They're on top of the division, and the division is wide open. I think the thing that sticks out to me again the other night, and we've talked about it, each week this defense gets better and better. I believe wherever they're going to end up, I don't know. But I think the Cleveland Browns have a playoff-caliber defense right now, especially as we've seen the last 2 weeks, the emergence of Buster Skrine. He's rated out as good as any quarterback or cornerback in the league the last 2 weeks compared to the way he started the season. That could be a key to this defense going to an even higher level.
Yeah, I agree, because he was performing poorly early in the season and has really turned up his game a notch. You know, teams were picking on him early because they didn't want to throw at Joe Hayden. And, you know, now he's starting to step up, and he realizes, you know, this is a test, and teams are going to continue to throw at him because they want to stay away from Hayden. And if he continues to play at that level, it's only going to improve things. And we've talked about that front seven for a number of weeks now, and it's just getting better and better. And I think as Barkevious Mingo gets more comfortable, the pass rush will continue to get better and better. I think, you know, Taylor's one of those underrated guys in all of football. People don't realize how important he is. He's sort of like a Vince Wilfork type that makes it very difficult to run inside. So they have a lot of pieces on defense, and things are certainly trending up that way, especially in the league that, you know, if you look around, you saw, you know, take a look at Dallas, Denver yesterday, and we all know it's Peyton Manning, but, you know, also Tony Romo's thrown for 500 yards. It's not easy to play defense in this league with all the rule changes. So, you know, Cleveland's ahead of the game on the defensive side of the ball. There's no question about that.
And this wasn't planned, but since you brought up Phil Taylor there while you were talking about that, Phil Taylor's going to be tonight at the Harry Buffalo in North Olmsted. He'll be there from 7 to 9. He'll be signing some autographs, and then I'm going to shoot down there and catch up with him tonight. Tomorrow on the show, you'll hear me talk to Phil Taylor, defensive lineman of the Cleveland Browns, right here on the show. So thanks for that unintentional setup there, John. That was perfect, man.
Perfect segue. I don't even need help. Look at them. I'm always
helping.
Look
at that. Nonverbal communication and everything. Man, you bring up Peyton Manning. That was sick. I mean, like I said at the start of the show, Tony Romo throws for 500 yards and 5 touchdowns, and we're talking about the other quarterback in the game. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that was just crazy. But Peyton Manning and those Broncos continue to just be a machine, setting record after record early start of the season.
Yeah, their offense has been, you know, utterly ridiculous, and I don't know, they're averaging 45, 46 points a game, and it's just to the point where, you know, yesterday against Dallas, I talked about it in the past, he's playing against a cover two shell for most of the game, and that's like shooting fish in a barrel for Peyton Manning. But, you know, as dominating as that offense has been, you also have to look at that defense and say, wow, I mean, they're just not able to stop anybody. And how much pressure does that put on Peyton Manning week after week after week? You know, after this week's game, they will get Von Miller back, and that'll help immensely. But it's not a very good defense in Denver, so before anyone coronates the Broncos, let's understand that they have some issues they have to fix also.
Yeah, I want to see what the return of Von Miller does, because we were talking in the preseason how they would be able to survive that period without him, and apparently they did it by outscoring the other team. No matter how many points they gave up, they just scored more points. So that's always a one way to make up for a weak defense, is a super-powered offense like that. I want to talk to you, looking around some of the other games, big surprise to me, Cincinnati. Coming off of getting handled by the Browns. The Browns defense really did dominate Cincinnati in that game. Then they take on New England and stop Tom Brady's touchdown streak. They shut down the offense of the Patriots completely, 13-6. Cincinnati, what a turnaround from 1 week to the next there with the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about the front seven in Cincinnati, too, and they're another team that has a very good defense, and at least in this era of the NFL, as good as you can get is that front seven. So, but, you know, the consistency offensively hasn't been there. They probably should have had an easier time of it yesterday if Bernard didn't fumble late, and they got that was a bad bounce for him, but then they got a fortuitous bit of luck when that torrential downpour happened late. And
right, during Brady's drive, and then it goes away right after they turn over the ball.
Yeah, exactly. So who knows? If that that rain held off for 10, 15 more minutes, you probably got that classic Tom Brady fourth quarter drive. But they caught a break that way. And, you know, New England, to me, it's amazing they're 4-1. I give so much credit to Brady and Belichick in general, because they just don't have a lot of talent on the field these days with all the injuries. And you know, you added to that before last week's game, you know, Vince Wilfork went down. We've talked about the lack of receiving. Gronkowski still not out there. Danny Amendola was able to play, but he you know, he wasn't himself. And yeah, you know, those rookie receivers just every once in a while they're flash, but they don't run good routes like most rookie receivers, and there's going to be some miscommunication, and you can see sometimes the frustration coming out of Tom Brady. But I just don't think the Patriots are all that talented right now, and it's really it's a surprise to me that they're 4-1 more than anything else.
Yeah, definitely. They're on the schedule, too. That's a game that, to me, when I watched that yesterday, you know, of course you play the games. You can't look at them on paper. But when I look at the Browns' schedule, I looked at New England and I said, man, that's probably one the Browns are going to drop. When I'm looking ahead, then I see that yesterday and I'm like, okay, the Browns' defense held strong, played well against Cincinnati. Cincinnati handled New England. Not saying the Browns can just beat the Patriots, but that says, man, it shows me that there's a lot of parity, especially in the AFC in general. We talk about the North, but just in the AFC in general, there really is a lot of parity amongst the teams this year.
Yeah, I don't think there's ever been a finer line between success and failure in the NFL than right now. If you think about it, you know, take the New York Giants for an example. They were a team, obviously the Super Bowl is in their stadium this year, and they inserted a Super Bowl countdown clock in their locker room. They thought they were a legitimate Super Bowl contender. And while you know, most of us didn't think the Giants were, you know, at the contender level, say Denver or San Francisco or Seattle or teams like that, we most of us, and I'll admit, I thought they were just a notch under that. 5 weeks later, they're 0-5. They're a disaster area, and that's, you know, the difference between success and failure in this league is an injury here or there, or a player maybe age creeping up on a key player. And, you know, these teams are very, very even talent-wise. And when you look at some of these big, bad teams like Denver, and you see the problems they have defensively, you saw Seattle, all of a sudden that defensive backfield give up some big plays and they lose. And, you know, San Francisco's already lost twice this year and they don't have Aldon Smith. Anybody can beat anybody except the Jaguars.
How about it? Like you said, the Colts, they go on the road 2 weeks in a row. They take care of a couple of tough teams like that. You said the Jaguars. How about it? Largest point spread in NFL history, rightfully so, when the Broncos take on the Jaguars this week. Peyton Manning may score. He may throw for 10 touchdowns in this game alone, man.
Yeah, you know, it's 4 touchdown favorite, 28 points. Yeah. You know, the biggest point spread since the '60s. You know, but there's a game where you almost, as Denver, you almost have to look past that game. It's just human nature. So, you know, I wouldn't run out and take those four touchdowns all that quickly just because I think Denver might, you know, they're going to take this game for granted. And you know, they're obviously going to win the game, but that is a lot of points, even for a team like the Jaguars. And, you know, as I said, it's human nature to kind of take that one for granted. I don't think Denver's going to bring a day game against Jacksonville, especially after the shootout performance in Dallas. So, you know, that could be a little bit of a trap. They're certainly not going to lose the game. But I don't know if you're John Fox, I don't know how you get your players up for that game and try to convince them that Jacksonville's a threat to them.
Definitely going to be an interesting storyline to watch throughout the week as the stories come out of that game. This week, a lot of them, man, just looking around, you just go, wow, San Francisco just pasted the Texans. What's going on with, like you said, confidence with Matt Schaub, four straight pick sixes like that, an NFL record, never been done before. I mean, look around at that. You look at Kansas City, who now sits 5-0. I mean, like you said, I think the line between winning and losing has never been finer. That's the best way to put it. I mean, really, to the NFL's credit, we talk about how this is what they've wanted all along, is that any given Sunday, and really, except for Jacksonville, any given Sunday, any team can win, and they are winning. It's really a treat for the football fan.
Yeah, it is, you know, because your team's basically never out of it, and even if you're coming off a bad year, like I can tell you, if you look at, you know, two of the marquee teams in this league. If you look at Pittsburgh at 0-4, if you look at the Giants at 0-5, and, you know, their seasons are going nowhere. But, you know, if you fast forward to 2014, that by no means means they're going to be down for a long time. You can turn this around quickly, as Kansas City has proven. You know, 2-14 last year, now they're 5-0 with a new coach and a new quarterback, and that's how fine that line is. I mean, you can go from two wins, and it looks like Kansas City's in good shape to be a double-digit win team. And that's the kind of turnaround you can see. And that's why, you know, we talked about the quarterbacks earlier, and you talked about young quarterbacks playing so early. That's part of the reason why there are no more five-year building plans. Coaches have to win, and they have to win now.
And we're seeing that around the league. I mean, like, I don't even know who – I mean, Andy Reid, Alex Smith, I mean, they both get some credit there. Andy Reid, you knew he was going to turn that thing around, but to be 5-0 is just really a testament to that. The other – last team I kind of want to talk about this weekend is the team the Browns have next up on the tap, Detroit. They've now got four straight weeks of 9 points or lower. The offense really scuffling. I don't know the status right now of Calvin Johnson. I know he missed yesterday. But that's a game where the Browns' defense, especially if Calvin Johnson doesn't play, has a chance to have their way with Detroit. The way they've been playing offensively is going to be the question mark for the Browns.
Yeah, so much of that game will rest on Calvin Johnson, because people talk about their offense and Reggie Bush, but they can't get anything done if Calvin Johnson's not on the field, because everything, he's the fulcrum of that offense. You have to double-team him. You have to put a safety on the top, and that means – you can't load the box against Reggie Bush or Bell, and that's when they start getting things going offensively. Yesterday in Green Bay, with Calvin Johnson not playing, obviously, you know, they had no problem, Green Bay, leaving Detroit's receivers one-on-one on the outside. Then they could shut down Reggie Bush. So much of it depends on the fact if Calvin Johnson could get on the field, and most people thought he was going to play in that game. So that knee pain, what they were calling it, kind of came out of nowhere. He's had that before, but he's never missed a game. So to miss that big of a game might be a bit of a red flag, because obviously a division game. Detroit hasn't won in Green Bay since 1991. With Calvin Johnson, they really would have had a shot to beat a Packers team that isn't as dominant as they usually are. And they just laid an egg without him. And that offense just can't get anything going, because no one else can stress the field if he's not out there.
So what are your thoughts? I mean, obviously it's hard to tell not knowing if Calvin Johnson's going to play because Megatron makes that much of a difference. But what do you think? What would you put the chances of the Browns making it four in a row, which I'd have to go look when the last time they did four in a row. I think it was a few years ago. But what do you think? Can they defeat the Lions here this week, make it four in a row?
Well, I hate to hedge. I don't think there's any question they can beat them and will beat them if Calvin Johnson's not playing. I don't even think it'll be all that difficult. I think it'll be a similar game as the Green Bay game. Maybe not a ton of points, but, you know, a 20-10 game or something like that. But if he's on the field, I think the Browns will have a much tougher time simply because it opens up so many other things. As I said, he's one of the few guys that you'll even have to double team on Joe Hayden's side. And once you have to roll that safety to take care of Calvin Johnson, that's where the Reggie Bush stuff opens up underneath. And there's a guy who can really create headaches in space. And if you get him the ball in the open field, he's really, really difficult to stop. You can't do that when Johnson's on the sidelines. You can do it when he's in the game. So I think if Calvin Johnson plays, I think Cleveland's going to have a tough time simply because Detroit is pretty explosive when he's on the field. And I'm not sure, as we mentioned, if Brandon Whedon has the confidence to really win a shootout at this point.
That's what the key is going to be to me, is those two right there. Calvin Johnson, whether he plays or not, which determines how Ray Horton can play this defense, and Brandon Whedon, whether he plays just adequately enough to allow the defense to do what it does and to give them a chance to win this game. Because I'm with you. I think coming off the break and the way Detroit's been playing, the Browns have a golden opportunity to go to 4-2 here and make it four in a row. And, man, just amazing to think a month ago, not even 3.5 weeks ago, when we were talking about the Browns and trading Trent Richardson. I don't think many people questioned the football side of it. It was the timing of it. But look at things now. Just amazing. No matter how the season turns out, that they have, you know, it shows the progress, whether you want to give them credit for it or not on the Browns.
I certainly give the players credit for it. And, you know, I've been giving Horton credit for it since day one. I'm not sure the front office thought this was going to happen, but again,
I don't think they like it either. To be honest with you,
You can't tell players not to win games, and they're going out there with every. And you know, hopefully Brandon Whedon develops that chip on his shoulder and takes this in a good way and say, you know what, I'm going to prove Joe Benner and Mike Lombardi wrong. And if he takes that tack and just starts playing. You know, and saying I'm just going to force them to put me back into the conversation. Then maybe Cleveland will be on to something.
And I'll tell you what. One last thing that you'd be remiss not to mention when you're talking about the Browns is each week off the couch, he's gotten a little bit stronger and ran a little bit better. And even with an offensive line that's got problems, Willis McGahee's looked better and better each of his 3 weeks here. And I think that, you know, he's going to be a factor. I mean, he's not going to be, you know, 150-yard back, but he's going to be a factor, I think, in this offense the rest of the season now that he's got his legs under him.
Oh, yeah, no, he's a veteran guy. He doesn't make mistakes. He's going to get you. You know, he's not explosive. He's not a home run hitter at this stage, but, you know, he can pick up the blitz. He can do everything pretty well. And, you know, he's solid. And, as he continues, as you said, to not only get his legs under him but learn the system, he's certainly going to be helpful, and that's very key for a team that lacks depth because of the trade and all the injuries in the preseason.
John McMullen from the Sports Network. It's always a great time every Monday. We get to go around the league, talk about the Browns and everything that's going on, and I always enjoy our time together. Next Monday, we'll see if exactly that happens. We'll see if Detroit was able to stop the Browns' streak, if the Browns made it to 4-2, and we'll see just how many points Peyton Manning defeats the Jacksonville Jaguars by.
That could be the big one. Always fun, right, Jerry. Thanks for having me.
You got it. He's John McMullen from the Sports Network. I'm J-Rock. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Dan Wismar from the – John, you got a brother that you didn't know about. Dan Wismar from the Cleveland Fan joins us. We're going to talk about the Ohio State Buckeyes victory this weekend. Close victory. It took them a while to get it going. They did get it going, though. We'll talk about Carlos Hyde, Braxton Miller, Urban Meyer, the Buckeyes, undefeated. We'll talk about it when we come back with Dan Wismar from the Cleveland Fan, live here on the Sports Fix.
Here at the Sports Fix are very in-depth when we interview the sports stars.
Oh, I saw the whole thing, dude. First you were all like, whoa, and then we were like, whoa, and then you were like, whoa. What are you talking about? You caught serious thrill issues, dude. Awesome.
Maybe not, but you should still listen.
As we head into this break, I just want to remind you the Sports Fix proud to be partners with Quick Lane at Valley Ford Truck, 5715 Canal Road, just under the 480 Bridge in Valley View, Ohio. Bill Hershey and Bill Opelich, I tell you about them each and every day. They'll take care of you. Number one, huge Cleveland sports fans, but they're good people, hardworking people, trustworthy people. I don't just come on here. I tell you this all the time. I don't just come on here and talk about places and people that want to buy advertising on the show. I talk about people and products that I believe in. And Quick Lane at Valley Ford Truck is one of those places. Whether you've got a truck, car, van, commercial vehicle, big or small, it doesn't matter. They'll fix them all. They're the home of the low price tire guarantee. Find a matching set of tires cheaper anywhere else, and they'll match the price guaranteed, no questions asked, no matter what it is. Hey, and they understand in 2013 that there's transportation issues. People need to get to school, to work, to daycare. All those things need to get done, and the car needs to get fixed, and they'll figure out a way to make that happen for you. Check them out, quicklane.com/Valley Ford Truck, and find out that life really is better in the Quick Lane.
It's an addiction. The Sports Fix. We'll be right back.
You love Cleveland, and you already know how much we love Cleveland. You know who else loves Cleveland? GV Art and Design. Everyday fans, you and I wear our pride on our sleeves. Now, you can wear your pride on your chest. GV Art and Design has one of the hottest Cleveland sporting lines. Log on right now to gvartwork.com. Check out all of their fantastic designs.
And don't forget, use the sales code FIX to save 10% on your total purchase.
Follow gvartwork.com on Facebook. And remember, GV Art and Design, it's not just a shirt. It's a statement.
Sports Fix listeners, don't wait all day or all week to get in on the fun. The party doesn't stop when we go off the air all week long. The Sports Fix social media sites are your one-stop shop for all things Cleveland sports. Jump over to Facebook.com/TheSportsFix, Facebook.com/TheSportsFix, and become a fan today, because we love fans and they create some of the best sports talk in town, Daddy. You'll enjoy talking to your fellow Cleveland sports fans on the Sports Fix fan page. And if Twitter's your thing, well, you know how we do it. Tweet with us at TheSportsFixCLE. It's that simple.
Twitter.com/TheSportsFixCLE, baby.
Chat live with the crew during all your favorite Cleveland sports events, tickets and contests and trivia and so much more. Get with us today, The Sports Fix, on social media, Facebook.com/TheSportsFix. Tweet with us at TheSportsFixCLE. Join The Sports Fix on Facebook and Twitter today.
Portions of the Sports Fix brought to you by GV Art and Design. It's not just a shirt, it's a statement. GVArtwork.com.
Hey, Cleveland, this is Ed Doherty, voice of San Ignatius Wildcat football, and you're listening to the Sports Fix.
Welcome back to the Sports Fix, streaming live here on the sportsfix.net or around the world on digital delay. Welcome in, whether you're on iHeartRadio, iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Spreaker, wherever you're at, we welcome you in. Remember, like I say all the time, they give me the microphone, but we give you the voice, so you can keep your comments coming in. Facebook.com/TheSportsFix or tweet with us at TheSportsFixCLE. It's been a great show so far. Thanks to John McMullen for joining us. Always a great time talking football with John McMullen from the Sports Network. Now we're going to talk a little college football, a little Buckeyes football. What a good game, too. I'll tell you what, about midway through the third quarter, I texted a buddy of mine the other night, and I said, are these guys going to wake up or what? And you had the feeling that they were, but they sure let it hang out there for a long time, and it showed me that these Buckeyes, some point in this season, may be ripe for an upset if they don't get that focus together. Welcome back to the Sports Fix. J-Rock with you, and we're going to the phone lines right now. It's always good to talk about these things in victory, however. Dan Wismar from the Cleveland Fan joining us. Dan, how you doing this Monday afternoon? Another Buckeyes victory, even though a little bit of struggle along the way.
Doing great, Jerry. Good to be back with you. It was a tough one. Looked like they were going to go down, but they showed some character, showed some resilience, and really Carlos Hyde just sort of picked him up and carried him on his shoulders that second half, didn't they?
I mean, absolutely. Let's start right there. I don't know if you heard earlier in the show, I started this thing off by saying I'm pretty sure that that guy is going to be playing some football in the NFL, and I sure wouldn't mind seeing him in brown and orange running some people over because he was a man the other night. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he sure was, and especially when you could see that, you know, he missed three games, and obviously the conditioning might not be what it ought to be. It was a muggy night there, humid night in Chicago, and he obviously was showing some effects of that, but he sucked it up and really just kind of carried that team, and he couldn't keep him on the sidelines for very long. They tried to give him a blow here and there, but he wanted back out there. He said afterwards that the coach told him he was going to ride him, and that got him excited. So, yeah, you're right. I think he's an NFL player. Certainly has the size, certainly has the ability still with that size to make people miss and to accelerate when he does get open. He was really impressive and sort of had to be because Jordan Hall wasn't dressed and they needed to rely on him. And he protected the football. One thing about Carlos, he doesn't put the ball on the ground. Something that you still are worried a little bit about with his main backup, Rod Smith. But it was quite a night. They did wake up. The defensive line, I thought, deserves the lion's share of the credit for really kind of just stuffing that Northwestern offense after the defensive backfield. Certainly still a problem, but the defensive line sort of bailed them out. They put a lot of heat on the quarterback when the coaches allowed them to, and that really, I think, was the difference in getting the ball back for the offense. One exception to that sort of rule about the defensive backfield not playing well, Doran Grant really stepped up when they needed him, played the receiver tight, made a big interception, got the Buckeyes the ball on the 16-yard line, and that resulted in the go-ahead touchdown. Might have been the biggest turning point of the game.
Yeah, you know, of those things you talked about Hyde, I mean, he said it after the game, too. He really kind of felt some responsibility after the suspension and after not being there to go out there and do it. And with Hall being hurt, he did. It was a workhorse-like game. It was give me the ball, and I'm just going to go and go and go. And on the defense, you're right. Right around that time that I was talking about texting some friends and saying, man, these guys got to wake up. Right around that time was when the defense just said, you know what? We're going to make this happen, and they did. They came up, they zeroed in, buckled up the pressure a little bit, and you could see the difference there. Especially Braxton Miller, I mean, you know, that was the next thing I wanted to get into. Right after that fumble there, it seemed like, you know, man, the air kind of came out of what they were working on, and that defense said, no, absolutely not. We're going to step right back in. We're going to get the ball back for this offense, and they did, and that allowed Ohio State late in the game to take control of that. Let's talk about Braxton Miller. Urban Meyer said he came very close to making the change to Kenny Guyton. I know Kenny Guyton was Twitter's favorite football player during the Buckeyes game the other night because everybody could see, you know, that there was just some problems offensively throughout that whole first half heading into the second half for them. But Urban Meyer stuck with it, stuck with Braxton Miller, and he did pull out the victory.
Yeah, you're right. And it was obvious, at least to me, I think, watching the game, especially when Miller tried to take it outside, that he was just a step slow. He still is not all the way back from that. It looked like he was favoring the knee a little bit. And certainly when he tried that sprint to the corner, he didn't have that same Braxton Miller acceleration and quickness that we saw last year. It's still not all the way back. I'm sure the coaches were aware that he was favoring that, and that's one of the reasons that he actually considered bringing Guyton into the game. I'm glad he didn't, frankly, not only because they won the game, but just because it would have been a source of controversy, I think, going forward, going through the bye week, and who needs that? I think the thing about Braxton, too, he put the ball on the ground a couple of times. I think in both cases it was solid, good hits by the Northwestern players. You got to give them a little credit for attacking the football and forcing those turnovers. They weren't unforced errors by Braxton. The missed touchdown pass down close was certainly an unforced error by Braxton, but three times the Buckeyes took it into the red zone there and three times came away without a touchdown. And that was really the reason that in the first half they went into halftime trailing by seven. I think based on how they had played overall, they had to feel pretty good about going into halftime only down seven. And came back out and got the defense squared away in the second half. Still, I think, Jerry, you got to say that the pass defense continues to be a problem. I see it as more of a failure of scheme than of talent. Don't know how you feel about that, but just watching how they played against Cal and against Wisconsin and now against Northwestern, something's wrong there. And I think something I think Urban Meyer's got to be sitting down with his defensive coaches and demanding that he get something taken care of.
And I think you're right. We saw that. You know, I thought Simeon played very well, actually, for Northwestern. He really was finding the open man and kept that ball moving. That was where, you know, up until that defense really dug in late in the third quarter, they're heading down the stretch. I was really thinking, man, they're controlling the pace. That first drive, Northwestern coming out of the half, they were controlling the pace. They were chucking their way down the field. And it was those, it's what you said, they were playing back. The defensive backs weren't pressing. They weren't really playing a lot of bump and run. They were playing back and just giving those cushions. And Simeon had no problem, you know, taking advantage of those. And they continued to work their way down the field. Like, that was definitely something that I think you're right needs to be addressed. And it's the perfect time. You've got the bye week. You've got a chance to address those things, you know, and get that squared down coming down the stretch, because you definitely don't want to get caught sleeping somewhere. And that's what I just thought showed me. Although, like you said, for them to still be in the position they were at halftime, you know, Urban acknowledged that perhaps the going for it with the fake punt and then the fourth, it might not have been the best idea. But he also said he's going to continue doing that because that's how they play football. So you're going to have to deal with some of that. But you definitely want to buckle that stuff down here in the bye week.
Yeah, definitely. And a couple of things. First of all, the Buckeyes coaches, Terry Combs, the cornerbacks coach, these guys, they will admit that it is part of their scheme to back off the receivers, give them a little bit bigger cushion. The idea being, though, that you prevent the big play. Well, they weren't preventing the big play, as
right.
It turned out. Northwestern had a 67-yard play there right after the Buckeyes went ahead. They came right back down the field with a simple slant that went for 70 yards. And they had several other plays over 20 yards. So if that's the scheme, fine, but it's not accomplishing the purpose. The other purpose, of course, is you're going to leave your defensive backs in some one-on-one because you're concentrating on slowing down the other team's running game. That you have to give them credit. That worked against Wisconsin. They held them to 100 yards rushing, a team that was averaging 300. Against Northwestern, too, they held them under 100 at 94 yards rushing. And I was a little bit surprised, Jerry, when I looked at the stats afterwards. It seemed like Northwestern was throwing the ball all night long. Turns out they had 31 pass attempts in the game and 43 rushes. They rushed 43 times. They gained 94 net yards. So obviously that defense is doing something right. The defensive line was good, and the linebackers serviceable again, if not outstanding. I thought Perry played better. I thought Grant was in on a lot of stops. You've got to look at that. Yes, that's the scheme. They didn't prevent big plays, as it turned out, but the running game certainly was not there for Wisconsin. They've been consistent all year long in really stuffing the opponent's running attack, even some good rushing attacks like Wisconsin and like Northwestern. So, you know, you take the bitter with the sweet, but clearly I think the tackling, again, has reared its head as a problem area.
Yes.
Maybe the bye week allows them a chance to have a tackling clinic going on there. Columbus, certainly it's going to get talked about, and there will be questions about it that the defensive coaches are going to have to emphasize that going forward. They can't continue to tackle so poorly and still continue to do well.
Yeah, that was one
the other point. The other point I was going to make is that right now you worry about that pass defense, but you're fortunate in that the schedule is going to be kind to you here in terms of you know, competent passing quarterbacks going forward. You've got a good kid at Penn State, a freshman, Hackenberg, who can throw the ball, but they don't have a ton of talent on the other end. They've got Robinson and not a whole lot else. And then you've got Iowa coming in, you've got Penn State, then you've got Illinois and Purdue on the road. So schedule maker is going to be kind to them for their next four games after the bye week. Dealing with Indiana's passing attack in that last game before Michigan will be something of a greater challenge. But right now they're not exactly facing Drew Brees and Tom Brady here over the next several games.
So that's going to make this, you know, this bye week even more crucial. The tackling, I was going to say, that was the other thing I had written down, because there was one point where I wanted to throw the remote through the TV because I'm watching these guys throw their shoulders at guys and make these attempts. They're trying to make hits. They're trying to make, you know, they're not trying to make tackles. They're not rapping and putting guys down. And I'm going, come on, guys. Urban Meyer goes spend the whole week teaching you guys how to tackle this week, you know.
One hopes he does, anyway.
Yeah,
certainly,
exactly.
Like I said, it's going to be a point of emphasis. And the same thing was happening last year before they moved Zach Bourne into the middle linebacker position. It seemed like the whole team started tackling better when they made that move, and that move sort of solidified things for them. I don't think there's any kind of a move there personnel-wise that they're going to make this year that will, you know, have a similar impact as putting Bourne in at middle linebacker did a year ago, but maybe just a week off and a focus on it and an insistence on it that things get better.
Dan Wismar from the Cleveland Fan. He's with us every Monday and Wednesday talking about Ohio State Buckeyes football and so much more. By the way, Wednesday, why don't we use this week, the bye week, to kind of look at the first portion of the season and look forward to the second half. We'll do that on Wednesday. But before I let you go, off the subject of the Buckeyes, I haven't talked to you since. How about it? You know, the end of the Indian season came since the last time I talked to you the other day, but an amazing atmosphere down there the other night, and I'm sure you, just like the rest of us, hoping that this is a launching pad and a springboard to bigger and better things here in the offseason heading into 2014.
Yeah, no doubt. It was obviously the crowd, the atmosphere was tremendous. You know, really just a matter of getting the big hit when you need it. That didn't happen, but I don't think in any way it should dampen the enthusiasm for what went on this year. It'll be very interesting to see how aggressive the front office is going forward. If they're going to bid on Ubaldo, if they're going to, you know, get into the game on some other free agents to add some power to the hitting lineup. But what they're going to do with the bullpen, for example, with some free agency there. But yeah, it's exciting going forward. Last year, the hiring of Francona was sort of the catalyst for it all. It remains to be seen how they're going to approach this offseason, and that'll be what everybody's watching to see if they can capitalize on the momentum and carry it forward.
It'll be fun talking to you about that. Some brownies. We got Cavs coming up. All kinds. This is a great time of year, just because, you know, the baseball season ends, but one door closes, another door, a bunch of doors open. Looking forward to talking to you about it. And, of course, Buckeyes football as well throughout the winter, my man. Dan Wismar from the Cleveland Fan. Thanks so much for joining us again. We'll catch up with you Wednesday.
Hey, thanks, Jerry. Talk to you then.
You got it. He's Dan Wismar. You can check him out on Twitter, @DWismar. I'm J-Rock. Taking a break. When I come back, we're going to wrap things up talking about the Cavs. Wine and gold scrimmage over the weekend. Got a few notes from that scary moment for Tyler Zeller. We'll wrap things up talking Cavs basketball when we come back here on the Sports Fix. Hey guys, as we hit the break, just want to mention the Sports Fix, of course, proud to be partners with Harry Buffalo in North Olmsted, home of each and every Browns game day Sunday. The Sports Fix, broadcasting pre-game, post-game, and halftime shows live in the house. We're giving away prizes, doing some trivia contests, having a great time each and every Browns game. Whether they win or lose on the field, everybody's a winner because we have a party each and every Browns game at the Harry Buffalo North Olmsted. Don't forget as well, they've got Coors Light College Game Day Saturdays. Get all your Buckeye action there. Great drink specials on Sundays. Those Hair of the Dog pitchers are only $10, and that right there turns a bad day and a frown upside down. All of that, Monday Night Football, your favorite Browns players watching the game with you, and so much more. The Harry Buffalo North Olmsted, just outside Great Northern Mall. We'll see you there for each and every Browns game. Don't forget, Harry Buffalo, proud sponsor of the Sports Fix. Join the herd.
It's an addiction. The Sports Fix. We'll be right back.
Why did I come back here? Back to Cleveland as a manager. It's more than about being a manager. I came home to a city that is familiar. I spent the first 6 years of my life here, going to the stadium almost every day with my dad, cheering for the Tribe.
cheering for Cleveland. This is a town that doesn't give up. A lot like being a player, being a Cleveland sports fan takes resilience. The passion is real. The fans are real. Cleveland is a tribe town. This is a baseball town.
Football season is party season at Harry Buffalo North Olmsted. And no matter who you root for, everyone wins at Harry Buffalo. Every Saturday is Coors Light College Football Saturday with $6 pitchers, four bottles for $10, and the Buckeyes in full HD. Every Sunday, the Sports Fix is broadcasting live with giveaways and prizes and joining you in watching all the Browns action with Bud Light beer specials and $10 Hair of the Dog pitchers.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. That's some fun.
Plus, every Monday night, catch the Monday Night Football action with some of your favorite Browns players. Football season is most definitely party season, and your headquarters is Harry Buffalo North Olmsted all winter long. Harry Buffalo. Join the herd.
This is Josh Tom of the Cleveland Indians, and you're listening to the Sports Fix.
Come on, Cavs! Welcome back to the Sports Fix, streaming live here on the sportsfix.net. It's been a great day. Thanks for kicking off your week here with us, and been a good time. As always, we appreciate each and every one of you. Trust me, that's not just something I say. I mean it. I am so lucky and thankful to be able to spend an hour and a half of every day with you guys. I wish I could spend 24 hours a day with you, but you'll get tired of me eventually. You guys like listening to me a lot more than I like listening to me anyways. I tell some of the listeners that all the time. I'm like, hey, you know what makes you different than me? I don't like listening to me, but you do. But it's all good, man. It's all a good time. Thank you so much. Had some fun conversations there during the break. You guys in the chat room keep me rolling throughout the show too. Remember, hit us up 24 hours a day, facebook.com/thesportsfix. Tweet with us at thesportsfixcle. Cavaliers, they get back at it tomorrow, officially the first preseason game. Matter of fact, I'm going down there, looking forward to that. You guys, if you're down there, look for me. I'll be glad to talk to you. It's going to be it's preseason basketball, just like we talk about preseason. But I want to see him in action. I've checked out a couple of practices here, saw the Wine and Gold scrimmage. I don't know if any of you guys watched it over the weekend. They streamed it on Cavs.com. But, you know, it's a scrimmage, and it is what it is. Until, however, it's all fun and games until somebody gets hurt. Tyler Zeller, the floor got wet. For those of you guys that didn't hear the story, there was a lot of humidity in the building, and the floor got wet. Tyler Zeller goes down. Luckily, only a strained left hip. They were worried it could have been a knee. His knee contorted at a very bad angle, and Mike Brown instantly said, practice is off. It's off. Scrimmage is over. We don't need anybody else getting hurt. Anderson Varejao went down in the tumble, too. That was the last thing we need. So Cavaliers called it early. Things were, you know, a couple guys looking good. Jarrett Jack. I'm going to start right there and tell you guys that I really think Jarrett Jack, for people that overlooked his signing in the offseason, what he's bringing already to training camp and what he's going to bring to these guys is some of those intangibles as well. He is going to push Kyrie Irving. He's going to push Deion Waiters, and I'll give Deion Waiters credit. He came into camp in shape this year, definitely different than last year. Now, he's still got to make it happen on the basketball court. But like I said, you know, talking about things, previewing the season and stuff, that to me, that's what you got to do nowadays. You can't use camp to work yourself into shape. You can't. I heard Fred and Austin talking about that a little bit the other day, that you back in the day, you could use camp to work yourself into shape. Now you've got to come in shape and use camp to get better, because that's what the good players are doing. And if you want to reach that next level, that's what you've got to do. And I agree with Sean. Kyrie Irving is the guy, but it doesn't change the fact that now there's a player that at least Kyrie Irving knows that Mike Brown and the coaching staff respects enough to put on the floor if they need defensive stops. And eventually, I think, and I could be wrong, I'm still figuring out the mindset of Kyrie Irving, getting to talk to him a little bit, because some athletes can be challenged and they come up big, and some athletes are challenged and they withdraw and they protect their space and they protect their own neck. I'm interested in seeing, just like Ramon Sessions did, I want to see the push that comes from Jarrett Jack and how Kyrie and Deion adapt to it. Deion Waiters saying all the right things, and what a great addition he is to the team. I think that three-guard rotation could work very well for Mike Brown, both from some physical aspects as well as some psychological as well. And that's just one of the things that he brings besides his play on the court, is that to the team. You know, so far, I think we've seen a lot of defensive effort. We've seen a lot of the focus, which I think we knew was going to be on the defensive side of the ball. Sergey Karasev, the other day at Media Day, he was sitting in the background. He had a hoop to himself. Nobody was paying attention to him. He was just shooting some hoops. I think he's still shooting, and he still hasn't missed a shot, because the entire time I was there, I don't think I saw him miss a shot. I mean, I get it, shooting in an empty gym. I'm not trying to make a big deal out of nothing, but just watching, he had a very, very sweet stroke. If he can adapt to the defensive side, if he can adapt to the physicality of the game, I think you guys are really going to like Karasev. Anthony, you know, let's talk a little bit about Bennett here, because Anthony Bennett, number one draft pick, which is going to be coming off the bench here to start the season, but definitely came into camp. And you know what? I'll give him the shoulder surgery, because that is something that stopped him from working out all season, and that is going to, or all off season, I should say, and it's going to take him a while to get into shape. I'll be honest with you. I think Anthony Bennett's going to be playing catch up from the beginning of the season. I think next year is going to be a little bit of a different story, and that doesn't mean that he can't contribute, but I think that by him coming in and needing to get himself in shape, that he's going to be playing catch up for the entire season, because he's going to catch up training camp, and then he'll always be a step behind the other rookies and the other guys on the team. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't think there's upside. I think offensively he's got a skill set that can help. It still remains to be seen how much playing time he's going to get, and I think those answers can't even come until we know how much you're going to get out of Varejao, how much, if anything, you're going to get out of Bynum, where you're going to play these guys. I think all of that stuff is going to be a part of that too. We'll see. And of course, there's the specter looming large, 2001 draft pick, is on a job trying to make this team, coming off the streets, Rocky style. Can he do it? You know, he has been a good body to have in there, and that's another guy. Look, you can't overspeak learning from veterans to an extent, and I think that's one of the reasons he's here, and he's body protection too. You've got to have enough guys. Mike Brown's running them in the drills here, a little different. Byron Scott ran the guys, but Byron Scott literally ran the guys. Mike Brown is running the guys, but it's more basketball style. He's definitely grinding these guys away. So you need bodies, too. That's one of the places Jop plays in as well. So it's going to be interesting to see the first time on the court together. You'll see a lot of guys that aren't going to be on the roster, but you'll get a chance to see some of these lineups, maybe get an idea for – we saw a bit of an idea for what Mike Brown's going to go with as far as a starting lineup at the Wine and Gold scrimmage. I think you could see he's got an idea how this team's going to shape and take place tomorrow night. An opportunity to see that with the first preseason game, 7 p.m. at the Q. We'll get a look at that. We'll talk to you about that. Speaking of tomorrow, Doug Plagans from the Lake Erie Monsters just hit me up during the break. Doug will make his first appearance of the season tomorrow. We'll feel like a monster, get the update on opening weekend, and look ahead to this weekend. They get the next few days off to catch their breath before they head out this weekend for another back-to-back. We're going to talk to Doug Plagans for the first time this season live here tomorrow. Plus, Dr. Football Bill Chickas will be with us. Always a great time when the doctor's in the house. Your calls, so much more. We're talking Major League Baseball playoffs, a little Monday Night Football tonight. A whole lot to talk about tomorrow. It is already this late. Man, time just flies and flies by. That's all right, because the clock has already begun to tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll be here at noon. Same bat time, same bat channel. Until then, you have a great night, Cleveland. We love you. We'll see you tomorrow, live at noon, right here on the Sports Fix.